Recorded live at Nightmare Studios in Houston, Texas, you're listening to the Genghis and Ragman Show, where two jamokes drink and rate craft beer while they chew the fat about the world of hard rock and heavy metal, followed up by one-on-one interviews with veterans and newcomers in the industry. I'm your official announcer, Joey Clams, and here to introduce themselves is tonight's special guest. Without further ado, here are two co-hosts who are so metal, they pour motor oil on their cereal. It's Genghis and Ragman.
Everyone has a tragedy or a stolen broken heart. Can you write me a symphony so I won't fall apart? Can you give me some clarity? It remains to be seen. I can feel you from miles away, though it's hard to believe. Everybody hold on tight. Hold tight. Hold tight. Hold tight. With all of my might. With all of my might. With all of my
guys, you're on live with Ragman, okay. Mono e Mono, with the main bullet boy, Mr. Mark Torian. Give it up. Mark, how you doing?
Good, my brother. How are you? Thank you for having me.
Oh, thanks for coming back. It's like we reminisced there a few minutes ago. It's good to talk to you again. You were so gracious many years ago at Rock the Bayou, and man, it's awesome. It's time to catch up, though, man. It's been a long time.
Oh, I know. Thank you so much. Yeah, it was the last time we sat down was pretty rad. We really had a good time together. So, absolutely. Thank you for having me again.
Hey, no problem, brother. No problem. Well, before we jump into the new record, I want to compliment you on your last record, Elefante. That was such a great record, man. It blew me away. At that point, had been the strongest thing. I like the stuff you guys have been doing, but I really, Elefante really stuck with me. Let me ask you kind of what happened from Elefante to the new record, and how you, what the approach was for the new record, from Out of the Skies.
Well, basically, from Out of the Skies, first of all, thank you for the compliments on Elefante. But we are, we've been receiving amazing, stellar reviews on our new joint, from Out of the Skies. It's just been unbelievable that people have really been taking to this record and loving the record, and that we've been receiving such high marks on our latest body of work. So, yeah, we're so excited about it. What would you like to know about it?
Well, was the approach different going into the new record? I've noticed a few things just being a fan. I mean, there's definitely some fall over from Elefante, but this one, it seems like there's a little bit more experimentation with a few songs, as well as almost more of a raw approach. Is that kind of what you thought going into the record, or did you have something a little more calculated when you sat down to start writing the tunes?
No, absolutely. We were, well, first of all, we were very blessed to record this record at 606 Recording Studios. David Grohl brought us in and was very kind to let us in to Foo Fighters Studios to record this. So definitely we took a different approach. This is more of a punk rock, soul, R&B, funk, pop, metal record. It's a record that we kind of threw everything into the blender, and I kind of basically, how would you say it, I wrote this record for our city, for the city of Los Angeles, and it entails and embodies a lot of that, those feelings musically of the city.
Nice. Well, I've got to ask you, you mentioned some R&B and some soul, and I really hear that in Prab. What does Prab stand for, and kind of how did that song come together for you?
But you don't see me underneath the disco lights where we fell in love last night. I try hard to make you feel the way I do, but you brush me off and point your lights with all your groove. It all seems a lot to go, 'cause I don't wanna see your head no more. Can't you put one down booty on the dance floor? Shake me what you got, I'll be your own daddy. Take another triple double shot.
PRAB is punk rock half booty.
Oh, nice. Well, I love at the end when you kind of go into a James Brown type thing. That's really cool.
Thank you so much. Yes, that's a lot of the stuff on here. It's very a lot of my funk influences and R&B influences. So we really were able to accomplish those things on this record. That was, it was a very risky record for us to actually go and to do something that was out of the box, that was fresh for the eyes and the ears. And it was just something that, you know, at times at times in your career, you have to reinvent yourself. At times in your career, you have to take risks. And at some point in our career, it was time to do that because of the fact that there's a lot of bands out there that are kind of sticking to what they know, or, you know, their albums kind of sound the same as the other album. And you know, the Bulk Boys have never been known for that, even though we have attempted different music throughout the years or attempted different grooves. They've all kind of been congruent to itself, and the one thing that's actually holding all the glue together, I believe, is my voice. So that's how we facilitated this one, especially. We really wanted to do something for the women in our lives. We just love women and respect women so much, and we wanted to put some softer pieces on there so people could groove, you know, and see a different side of my voice, a different side of the band. You know, just put, you know, it's, how'd you say it? It's just like, you know, you just can't, you know, how'd you say it? Keep on drinking the same drink every single day. You're going to want a little something a little different, that tastes a little different, feels a little different, you know?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I was wondering, you know, with you guys signing to Frontiers, I know that they've signed a lot of bands from the 80s, and some bands go back to the original formula, and I've seen some other bands kind of do where they are now, and that's definitely what you guys are doing. But was there any pressure that they said, hey, we kind of want something like the first record? Did you get that, or did they give you kind of free rein?
Well, you know, as you know, that we have been monikered as the villains, but we're very fun-loving villains. So we kind of walk by the beat of our own drum. we're very much that way in our thinking and the way we perform and what we do musically. So I don't think anything was put upon us to do a certain thing. With Frontiers is kind of known for classic rock records and records that, you know, that embody this, the sound of whatever that band is on an older type of feel. But we were very ingratiated by them, and they got what we were doing, understood what we were doing. They had listened to Elefante, so they knew that we had been progressing and reinventing.
Okay.
So we're just completely. It's a double-edged sword, you know. It is, with any label that feels a certain way, and but they've been very loving to us and have let us basically branch out, and well, not let us, but basically have how would you say it, ingratiated the fact that we do what we do.
Well, that's very cool, and I mean, it obviously shows, but I always kind of wonder, you know, kind of what you're going to get, and I love Frontiers, don't get me wrong, but if a band has, you know, kind of gotten out of that mold of where they were, you know, 30 years ago, and are doing something fresh, I really appreciate a band doing what they do rather than trying to revisit the past so much, you know?
Yes, no, I agree with you there, and it's really sad because a lot of bands from my genre tend to do that. They're constantly reliving the past. So Bullet Boys is not about reliving the past. I was told by a very close friend of mine one time, Mark, if you're constantly looking in the rearview mirror, they're going to be living in the rearview mirror. You know, so I don't do that musically. I won't do that. I don't think it's fair to our fans or fair to us as musicians and as creators and artists. I just, you know, you have to have the room to grow. And there's been so many bands that have been told, oh, you got to do this, you got to do that. And the bands that I revere, I'll just use for example, like Metallica. You know, Metallica went and did different things and searched out different styles in their own style. You know, I mean, shoot, there would never be a Jamie's Got a Gun if Aerosmith didn't step out and, you know, and take a risk and do a song like that. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, totally, man. Totally.
A lot of the great music that I love, you know, a lot of the artists that I love, my favorite stuff is the stuff that they step out and do something that you wouldn't really expect, you know?
Oh, yeah, for sure, for sure. Another song I want to bring up is Hi-Fi Drive-By, which is probably the first song where I was like, I kept hitting the back button. It's such a strong song, and I think with the right, getting in the right hands, that could actually do something for you guys as far as the single goes.
I'm feeling kind of blown away that I can see daylight again. Have another taste of indecision, broken promise, blurry vision. I know that I don't have to pretend.
I'm just a lonely car that racing from my scene. It's just another angry mob of lovers hating on me. But I'm it's right just where you are. Oh, where you are.
Thank you so much. Everybody's really been gravitating to that song, and we're just completely stoked that that people are gravitating to Hi-Fi Drive-By. I think there's a lot of these songs that are actually going to be doing a lot for us as far as applying and getting into motion picture and television. We have been approached by those companies, and we're really working on it diligently. As every day comes and goes, we are we see receiving more accolades and a lot more people are really up and fitting to this record. So thank you for saying that about Hindsight Grandpa. It's one of my favorite songs on the record. And it's just something that, you know, we were trying to be Earth, Wind, and Fire. With the Bullet Boys, you know, with the Bullet Boys, Southern Cal Slagger. You know, when I listen to that song, it just personifies L.A. Personifies L.A. if you take a car and drop down the rag shop, cruise down PCH, you put a Hi-Fi drive-by on with a beautiful girl sitting right next to you in a beautiful car or what have you, and I think you'll probably get some that evening.
Nice. I'm going to have to try that with my wife, but unfortunately I'm in Houston, so
Ooh.
I don't have the PCH around here, man.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah, man, because, you know, these days, dude, I just hear so many, there's just a lot of hard music out there and a lot of stuff that's very growly and, you know, no one's really singing anymore, so I really was able to show people different sides of my vocal ability, and that's really important to the band and to all of us as a whole, that we really wanted to do that on the record, that, you know, I'm always, you know, always singing and screaming and doing my thing, you know, and sometimes you just gotta, you know, just gotta, how would you say it, simplify it a bit. And it was very difficult for me to be so honest lyrically and poetically on this record. That was one of the hardest things for me, was lyrically. I really wanted to step into a place and to write pieces that were beautiful, that showed, how would you say it, an uplifting approach. So, like the light at the end of the tunnel song. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a couple songs that have those types of sentiments, and I personally am so excited about that. I think this could be my favorite Bullet Boys record ever, because of the fact that we were able to show our musical prowess and be able to paint with very broad strokes on this record.
Yeah, it really shows. I would say this is probably the most versatile Bullet Boy records that you guys have ever released, and it keeps you guessing from track
Thank
to track
you.
what you're going to get, you know?
Thank you so much. Well, I'm really... What happened, too, it was some type of a snafu with the album, actually. So there's kind of some, how would you say, different things, trivia things. We actually cut... we did the song by The Temptations, Get Ready, and it was supposed to actually be on our domestic release, but somehow, with the powers that be, it didn't get on there. So they ended up using it for the bonus track for Japan. So I don't know if you've heard that song yet, but I would definitely put your ears on that song, because we did an amazing job on that song. I'm very proud of the band. You know, we put horns and we really took that song to another level, as we do with Bullet Boys, how we change kind of songs and kind of make them our own, you know?
Oh, yeah. So, I would love to hear it, man.
Yeah, man, if you can, just, you know, hit up the label and have them send it to you. Or if you want to, you can get the Japanese release, and it's definitely on there.
Sweet.
But a lot of people have already heard it. I've done some interviews also, and they're like, well, why isn't it on the domestic release? And so there's that little, how would you say it, trivia, that little things that are on there, that this record, there's a couple of little things that are on there that are like, okay, well, wow, it's just, which we think is kind of neat, which makes it a little punk rock.
Oh, yeah, for sure, man. Another track I want to mention, and it closes the record, is, and this is the latest one I'm hitting the back button on constantly, is Once Upon a Time. I really dig that tune.
Oh, thank you.
Do you? And that's a little different for you guys as well, you know?
Again, I'm taking all the chances that I can now. Look at what I have become. Too scared to lose control. I'm making all the choices that I need to. 'Cause it's the moment of my life. This is the moment of my life. No second chances, no goodbyes. I feel.
Definitely dealing into. I put that song on there. Ben put that song on there. I co-wrote that song with a very amazing writer and a very close friend of mine by the name of Johnny Santoro. And you know, he's this amazing writer, and he's just, you know, he's always, you know, writing stuff for people and doing things. And we got together one day, and he played me the song, and I was like, wow. I go. I go, who's just singing on this? He goes, yeah, I have some guy come and sing on this. And he goes, do you want to hear the way it originally was? And I was like, yeah, sure. So then he plays me the original version of the song. And I'm going, well, who's singing here? He goes, well, that's me. I go, well, why did you change the thing? He goes, well, because the singer wanted to change it to make it into this growly metal thing. And I was like, dude, it's not rad at all. I go, go back. Let's just check it out. So we started working on a little bit. And I go, let me throw something down this way. Let me approach this in a different way, in more of a, like a, this is going to sound weird, though, but like a metal Mariah Carey. So he goes, are you kidding me? That would be so rad. Let's do it. That sounds rad. So we worked on it, and, you know, when we finished the song and we listened to it, we just looked at each other and go, this thing's stupid. And when we were finally getting to the selection of the songs for the record, I just wanted that at the end of the record because it it comes full circle when you listen to the record in its entirety. So when we end with that, it just has a really amazing sentiment. And the fact that we actually put it on the record was just a big thing for Johnny. He was just so excited, and we were so excited together because I talked to him about it. It's gonna be on our record one of these days. He's like, yeah, okay, you know. I was like, okay, right. And then when we actually put it on there, he was like, you gotta be kidding me! I love you! Wow! Wow! And it's like, we're rejoicing about that. People are getting to hear this beautiful piece of music that we worked on. You know, that maybe, you know, that no one would have heard it. You know,
right. It's killer, man. That's one of the tracks that didn't grab me right away, but the more I hear it, it's like, damn, that's turning into my newest favorite track on the record.
Oh, that's so badass, bro. Thank you so much.
Well, I know.
Yeah, it's one of my faves too. I gotta tell you. I mean, you know, it's got that sentiment of a musician or an artist that's constantly struggling. You know, this record's all about the underdog who never wins. So I think that sentiment is all over the record, because we're kind of like that, you know, that type of band. We're the Bullet Bellers. You know, we're not this huge mega thing. You know, we didn't sell records like Guns N' Roses. We never became huge like Bon Jovi, or, you know, these bands that are dead. But, you know, and I love those bands, but we've never able to do that for some reason or another, for the powers that be, or maybe it's just us. But I really feel that the reinvention of this band that I've worked on so diligently hard with my brothers Chad McDonald and Nico Ross have been just 5 years. We've been almost 9 years together in reinventing this thing. People don't realize the struggle and how hard we work and our team works. And I really want to talk about this right now because it's not all fun and games. It's there's a lot of heartbreak. There's a lot of bad sentiment. There's a lot of people out there on social media that are constantly degrading you, that are constantly trying to push you down. So I give kudos to my band, myself, Tony DiUso, Chad McDonald, and Nick for sticking through what we believed in. And when everybody else was laughing and laughing at us and thinking that we're some kind of joke. And, you know, we're on to prove that basically we're not a joke. And if we are, we're a killing joke.
There you go, man.
You know, musically, we just want to be known that the fact that we love everybody and really appreciate everybody that has helped us, all of our fans, friends, and family. We just love them unconditionally. Everybody that's been helped us with this record, Mr. David Grohl, everybody from the Foos, people that work at 606, my brother Jesse Hughes, who I love with all my heart, who came in and sang on Deep Evil for the Eagles of Death Metal. I was just with them last night. We were having a wonderful time last night. Just all this new tribe that I'm in has really ingratiated me into really trying to bring a lot of love and compassion to people and to try to facilitate a positive vibe instead of, you know, constantly living in the negative, you know, like a lot of people are right now, which is kind of par for the course with what's happening all around the world. But us as artists and musicians, we need to be enough, try to be at least an uplifting light somewhere, you know?
Yeah. Well, I got to ask you, and I read this in the little press release, that there was an acoustic guitar there in the studio that you were able to play, and it was yes. Dave Grohl's. Did you use that guitar on Losing End again?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I thought so.
Switchblade Butterfly. It's through all the record, actually. I'll tell you what. That guitar was used on many of the Foo Fighters songs recording. I mean, I didn't even switch the strings. I sat down, started playing it. My producers said, "Are you kidding me? That thing sounds great." I go, "I'm not changing the strings. We're not changing the tuning. It's just magical because a magical wizard plays that guitar." So we were able to get that magic from that beautiful acoustic guitar. And I know people will say, "Oh yeah, whatever, dude," but that's not the case. It's one of those things that you have to have been there. So yes, absolutely.
And then that's another one that's really catchy too, man.
Beautiful. Switchblade Butterfly?
Oh, Losing End Again. No, Switchblade Butterfly is cool too, but Losing It Again is another one that I'm just like, man, I'm hitting that back button. It's really cool. You. And I hate to keep bringing up all the ballads, but man, those have really stuck out for me on this record. I just some really good songwriting on this record, brother.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much, my brother. That's very kind of you. I worked my butt off on this record, bro.
Oh, I can.
A lot of there was a lot of exuberant moments. There was a lot of tears. There was a lot of doubting of myself, and we doubting each other, but yet finding common ground, and especially with everybody that around us that worked behind the scenes to get this record to even released. So kudos to our team and everything like that. But as of late, a lot of people have really been being moved by Switchblade Butterfly. And when we're able to move people and move their hearts with our music, that's everything to me. And I'm going to repeat that. That is everything to me as a musician and as a person, if we're able to move people. Because people need to be moved these days, and they need their feelings to be brought up. And you know, we're all about everybody. We love everybody. We have no ill will or any type of prejudice or any type of bigoted statement to anybody. We love everybody. So this record is for everybody. It has something there for all walks of life. So that's why we wanted to do something to give back to the universe and give back to the world.
Yeah, for sure, brother. Well, last question here. Looking at your career now, with, you know, the two really, really stellar releases, and you guys really changing direction and growing as a band. I mean, it's got to be, do you kind of look back at the old materials like, oh God, man, I wish I was doing this more back then? Or I'm sure you're proud of everything you've done, but musically, have you grown? Do you kind of pinch yourself every once in a while and say, wow, I can't believe where I'm at now?
Yes, and to be honest with you, some of the old material from way back in the day, I've always been kind of embarrassed about. And I'll say that. I really haven't said that in an article, but and I don't mean that in a bad way. I just mean it in a musical way. I never wanted the Bullet Boys to just be known as this cock rock sex joint band. I never thought that that I wanted my band to be just known as that. I thought that we had other things to facilitate and to other things to give to the musical community. So to be able to do these two records back to back, Elefante and From Out of the Skies, and to show our musical prowess is a huge enlightening thing for us, especially me. And I think now that people realize that how long we've been doing this, we're getting a lot of respect from the musical community and also from musicians that have told me, you keep on going. Don't listen to anybody. Do your thing. Don't take any, you know, all these criticisms and stuff. Let it roll off your back like a duck in water. Please keep on writing what you're doing. It's motivating us. And my friends that tell me, it's motivating us as musicians and motivating us as people, because you're not afraid to do it. And that's the biggest thing, is fear. A lot of musicians like myself that are, you know, from that certain time or that certain genre or what have you, you know, there's a lot of fear. There's a lot of fear of trying to do something that, you know, I think people are always worrying about, oh, the fans, what are they going to like? How about the musician? How about the person that's writing it, if they're going to like it? How about the band that likes their own record? You know, I'm a big fan of 70s music. 70s music was always trying to step up and out of the box. Constantly. Always changing. Always trying to do new things. My hero has always been David Bowie. David Bowie is always trying to do different things. Iggy Pop would always try to do different things. It was, you know, but in their same thing. So there was always experimentation and with sounds and grooves. So I don't think it should be any different now.
Yeah, for sure, man. Well, as far as set list, are you playing a lot of the newer stuff, or do you feel like you still need to kind of infuse quite a bit of the old stuff, or do you got a pretty good balance?
No. You know what? We got a pretty, that's great. Thank you for saying that. We got actually have a pretty relevant balance. I find these days that people want to hear the new songs a lot more than the old songs, and that is a really telltale thing for us, because they love our new music. I mean, we play stuff from 10 Cent Billionaire. We're playing stuff from Elefante. We're you know, people are screaming at, play Tim Folk! I want to hear, you know, Saving You From Me! I mean, people are screaming this stuff. I mean, and we're looking at each other and going, all right!
Awesome.
Even on stage, you know, Chad will look at me and go, and like, so we'll be screaming his song. And he'll come up to me and goes, we need to put Kim Folk in the set. I told you. Stuff like, and we'll just laugh on stage or something, you know, because like the other day, we opened up with From Out of the Skies when we were in our UK tour. No one's ever heard the song. You know, we opened up the set. One of the shows that we did in the UK. And we were like, we got to open up because we wanted to do it, right? And
yeah.
Go on, you know, we were going, I don't know if anybody's going to get a notice. And it's like, and we all look at each other and we go, let's not worry about it. Let's just play it. So we start playing it. And the minute we start playing it, everybody goes nuts and starts moshing. It's like, they never heard the song before.
That's awesome.
So they're going nuts. And, you know, after we finish it, they're like, you know, and I'm like, I turn around and look at Tiny, and he looks at me and goes, see? So, you know, it's another thing with us. There's no ego with my band. We don't really take ourselves really seriously. So, as far as, you know, people, we're very, very loving, and we try to love on everybody that we can. So, that's one of the things that when people play with us, they go like,
you guys are so rad. You know, when you guys, people don't say, oh, we don't have any ego, then the first thing we see in a room is them having an ego. You guys, like, you guys did it like 3 o'clock in the morning, hanging out with people. Just, no one ever does that kind of stuff. So we're all about rock and roll. We just love rock and roll music, and we love people, and we just want to be out there doing our thing and making people happy.
Awesome, man. Well, I can't wait to see you. And I was going to mention, my hat's off to you for mixing in a bunch of the newer material. I'm a huge Lynch Mob guy as well. And they play a good amount of their newer stuff rather than just focusing on, like, the first record or whatever. So that good balance, because I'm a music fan, dude. I've followed you since the 80s. I want to hear the new stuff, too, because it's solid, you know?
Yeah, dude. And, you know, if you're going to play new stuff, I'm hoping it's going to be, like, badass.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the one thing with bands. If you're going to play your new stuff, you better make sure you do your homework.
Awesome, man. Well, real quick, I keep saying last question, but as far as the tour goes, I know y'all released some dates. Any thought of coming down south back to Texas?
Absolutely. We just released our spring dates as we speak today. So our U.S. And Canada spring dates. So we will be definitely going out there, but we are going to be announcing something very, very special today in the next couple of days. A huge tour that we're going to be on. So
awesome.
Keep your eyes and ears cocked and loaded. Wanted to thank you so much for having me. And I want to thank everybody out there for being so loving and so kind to my band, Bullet Boys, for so many years. And sticking with us through the good times and the bad times. And I really hope that everybody loves the record and that they just blast it this summer and spring. And, you know, just have a great time with some new music and that can bring some new memories for people.
Definitely. Mark, it was an honor to talk to you again. Good luck with everything.
Oh, thank you.
And hope to catch you live in here in Houston. We want to tell the fans to go get Bullet Boys' brand new record, From Out of the Skies, out now on Frontiers.
Absolutely.
Mark, awesome talking
Absolutely,
to you, man.
Absolutely, my brother.
Thank you so much,
dude. Great talking with you. Thank you. God bless you, and thank you so much. Have a rad day, bro. Thank you.
You too, brother. Take care.
And Ragman.
And you've been listening to the Right to Rock podcast, and we appreciate you listening, and we want to give a big thank you to Tracy G, who is the third unofficial member of the group. We appreciate all of his work, especially the Broken Man song, which is the theme song to the Right to Rock podcast.
And also, we're going to give high props to our boys in Sonic X, Adam and Joseph, have lent us 13 to finish the show, so what you're listening to right now is 13 by Sonic X. So check them out and keep checking us out. And horns up.